Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello, 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 and welcome to a new year, a new show, and a huge showering of love and blessings from Forever Family Foundation to all of our listeners. You are tuned into Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by Hugs from Heaven. That's Hugs with a Z. At hugsfromheaven.com. Our guest tonight is New York Times best-selling author and psychic medium, Laura Lynn Jackson. Laura will not be conducting spirit communication tonight. However, if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. So, Bob, there's a lot of excitement at Forever Family Foundation coming up this year.
There is, and maybe we can talk about a few of those things. I also wanted to mention, I don't know if you noticed that yesterday, or the day before, and the week leading up to it, when with the Powerball, I noticed everybody was really excited and hopeful, and their overall mood was good. And today, there are a lot of cranky people.
Yeah, what that does. That's not a good thing.
No, it just dawned on me, though. You know, here you are, people... They have a tremendous amount of hope, even though they know the odds are infinitesimal, you know, against them winning, you know. But despite that, just that little glimmer is enough to elevate them. And then you compare that to people that hope that there's an afterlife. You know, there's a hell of a lot more evidence, you know, than there is of you know of there being an afterlife than of hitting. You know, the possibility of hitting the lotto. So people should be more than hopeful when it comes to the afterlife after examining the evidence and the personal experiences, and that should elevate everybody's mood that there's a place that we go after we die.
Right, except for the propaganda that's out there telling them otherwise.
Right.
But speaking of lotteries and winning things, the chances of winning our Holiday of the Earth raffle is way better than winning lotto or any of those other things. So,
of course, it's not a billion, though.
No, but you get a free medium reading.
And which is better, to have a billion or to connect with a loved one?
Well, not only connect with a loved one, but our mediums are also psychic, and they might be able to tell you, go buy that next lotto ticket.
Don't worry, Alex.
Anyway, they should go to the website, and they should enter the raffle because it helps us to pay our bills for no other better reason than we've got lots of bills to pay.
Yeah. We've got a webinar I just wanted to mention coming up soon in February.
Oh, it's going to be exciting, right?
With Dr. Stafford Betty, and you know, we're talking about the afterlife. He's a renowned expert. He's a professor of religious studies in the University of California, but he... has a strong desire to learn everything that there is to know about the afterlife, and he has a tremendous amount of research over the years, you know, for decades now, and he has written several books. Everybody always wants to know what the afterlife is like. Well, tune into this webinar, and you're going to get specific depictions of what it actually is.
So. And you don't even have to read the book.
No, you're going to want to.
You're going to want to read the book. The two fabulous books that he's written, and they answer a lot of questions that people have, and it's a great source.
That's on the events page of Valor.
On the events page. That's going to be on February 9th. You can sign up on the events page and just wait. When you complete the registration form, another window opens for you if you're a member to pay the $5 fee or if you're not a member to pay the $20 fee. And then there's another webinar coming up right after that on suicide loss, perspectives from parents, therapists, and mediums. And that also is going to be a fabulous, fabulous webinar on March 1st. So you can sign up with both for both of those things on the website. There's also a complete list of webinars that are available that are going to be broadcast throughout the year.
Right. Now, you've got I think we're all set now with the grief retreat.
Grief retreat is all set. The event page is up. The reservation page is up. Everything is there. People have already been reserving seats, and we only have 50 seats at this, so that when we break people into the small groups, we have wonderful, cozy little small groups. So if you're thinking about going, and if you know you're going to be able to go, because remember, we can't do refunds, now would be a great time to make your reservation, because we have a super early bird special rate where we're going to help out by keeping the rate the same as it was in 2014 for a short while.
Yeah, and for those of you who are not familiar, never been to one of the grief retreats, I mean, it's for people that are in all different stages. I mean, most people that go have lost a loved one. So for some people, it's very new. For some people, it's been years. But, I mean, that's the motivation for going. But we try to... We go to the same retreat center in Connecticut because it's a wonderful, relaxing center, good vibes. It's in the woods, you know, good food, good accommodations. And then the programming, I mean, we have certified mediums. We have grief professionals. This year, Diane Archangel
from
Texas is flying in, and she's going to be our guest facilitator. And for those who don't know, Diane is the author of the book Afterlife Encounters. She did a lot of research with the University of Virginia, worked with Raymond Moody at the beginning, and she was a director of the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross Center. So who better than to come to a grief retreat than Diane Archangel? I know you've been busy working with the medium convention.
All of our mediums, we're trying to get them all together under one roof, simultaneously imagine that energy. And that's going to happen in November, and it's going to be in Fort Myers, Florida, which is really easy to get to from any place. It's an international airport, and we have free shuttles going to the back and forth from the airport to the hotel. And while you're at the hotel, you can use the shuttle to go anyplace else within a certain radius. So it's going to be a great deal. We managed to get a great deal on the rooms. It's just going to be a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous weekend.
And that's for what kind of people want to go there? I mean, that's...
Anybody who has had an afterlife experience or encounter, anybody who is studying mediumship, either just for their own personal connections or as a professional medium, anybody who has a child who shows psychic attributes in their life and they want to know how to deal with it from a parenting point of view. It's just that everything that you can imagine that's associated with mediumship and communicating or experiencing the unseen world, that's the agenda that's going to be covered over that weekend.
Right. So there's more details to come on that, but the... preliminaries are up on the website as well, I believe.
Right.
So I know we're anxious to get to our guests, so we're going to go to a break. As Fran mentioned, we're going to be talking with Laura Lynn Jackson, who's now, in addition to being a great medium, she's a New York Times best-selling author. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes with Laura Lynn Jackson.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest tonight is psychic medium and New York Times bestselling author Laura Lynn Jackson. Our sponsor tonight is Hugs from Heaven, that's Hugs spelled with a Z, at hugsfromheaven.com. Bob?
And Laura Lynn Jackson is a psychic medium. We became aware of her back in 2005, when she went through the medium certification program, and she gained certification, and she's been with us ever since. And her journey is an interesting one. She later, of course, she had a wonderful private practice in mediumship. She was interested in research and became a certified medium with Winbridge Institute. She's on the Foundation's Medium Advisory Board, and now, on top of everything else, she's a New York Times best-selling author, and that's why she's here tonight. The book is called The Light Between Us, and welcome, Laura.
Thank you so much. I'm so thrilled to be talking with you.
And You know, the book is great, and there are a lot of things that I thought I knew about you, and then I found out a lot of things I didn't. Some things are really interesting. One thing I kind of resonated with, you as a child were extremely empathic. I mean, you felt the emotions of others, and that resulted in huge mood swings. You'd have big ups and big downs because you were feeling the emotions of those around you. So when that started happening, did you think that everyone was like this, like this was the way it was, or did you sense that this was something, there was something that was different about you?
You know, I really thought that's the way that we were all, that we all worked. You know, as a child, I think the world is so new to you and you're having all these experiences and you don't think to really talk about it or discuss it, because I just felt like, well, oh, okay, everybody must experience this and go through this. This must be the way that we're all wired. And it sort of made sense to me that we were all connected in that sense, because I always felt this connection with everyone I met. So I just assumed that's what everybody was feeling.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And, you know, when we talk about being empathic, I mean, is it possible to be a medium and not be empathic? I mean, in other words, a medium can obviously feel the emotions from discarnates, but does that go hand in hand with picking up on feelings from the living?
You know, that's an excellent question. I can only share my experience, and for me, it absolutely went hand in hand. I think being deeply empathetic is a quality we have, and in some of us it's more pronounced, and I think in a sense I was always reading other people's energy or auras, if you were, you know, and connecting with those. And I think because I was like that and because I regularly exercised that ability, my abilities opened more and more and more, because I truly believe that, you know, we're all psychic in some ways. We just tune it out and turn it off, you know, usually around age 5 to 7, I think, when formal schooling starts. And so we stop developing. And for me, you know, for whatever reasons, it was so pronounced in me, and I had, you know, these abilities, and I stayed open to it. And I think that's why eventually I began to perceive the other side so acutely, and I became so aware of it, is because I never stopped being open.
Didn't you also see colors around people?
Yeah, absolutely, you know, and I realized when that was happening that that probably wasn't normal. But for me, you know, I quickly began to understand that that was just another language I had in my perceptions of people, and it was quite helpful, because if I saw someone and I saw blue around that person, I knew that my energy would align very well with that person's energy, because they were, you know, by nature a teacher and a healer and that sort of thing, and I would see that if there was, you know, maybe a little red around somebody, I called it like red scribble energy, I would avoid that person for the time being, because it would show me that they were going through, you know, some anxiety or some anger or some little issue. So it really helped me navigate my world from a very young age. You know, I still use that tool.
Yeah, I would imagine that's one that stays with you. An interesting part of the book was a chapter where you described getting information, you know, in a dream about a close friend who died in the dream, and it later happened, and that really affected you. I mean, how do you integrate something that into your life? I mean, did you question yourself?
Yeah, you know, I think that was one of the most profound moments on my journey in being accepting and opening to my abilities. You know, from a young age, I would know very, you know, frightening things for me. I think the people I loved the most and was so connected to by these kind of cords of light and love that connect us to one another, I would know things about them. So I knew at age 11 when my grandfather was going to die, and that was very difficult for me. And when I was, you know, a freshman in college, I had a dream that one of my close friends was dying. And it turned out I was having the dream as he was dying, and I didn't find out till later, you know, that evening that he had indeed crossed, and that was, I would say, emotionally crippling to me. It was devastating, and it really made me question, why on earth would I have these abilities and know this? And in my dream, I was connecting with him as he was crossing, and, you know, I didn't understand why I would get that knowledge and without being, you know, woken up from my dream and being told exactly his whereabouts so that I could call the police and save him. But in time, I've learned that that's not our role, and the reason I was perceiving him communicating with me at that time was because I was already a medium and because I could hear him and he was saying goodbye. And you know what? In retrospect, that was a beautiful gift. But at the time, it felt absolutely dark and haunting, and it terrified me.
Yeah, I got a chuckle at a reading that, you know, you were searching for an answer to what was going on. And at one point, you even went to a pastor, you know, and,
yeah.
and he attributed the dream to your taking a philosophy class.
I went to him and I confessed all my experiences and how I had known all these things. And I was so, you know, lost and confused. And then, you know, it was just, he boiled it all down. He said, you know, what classes are you taking? Oh, philosophy, that's what's doing it. And I thought, that's definitely not what's doing this to me, because I've had this since I was little and I haven't taken philosophy till this year. You know?
Right, so, not much you knew.
Yeah. I knew that wasn't the answer.
Right. I know there was something I wanted to ask you. After you stimulated me after I was reading the book, and you talk about a time when you were in college. It was before you were reading people professionally, and you had a couple of drinks.
Yes.
Yeah, that kind of opened you up. So why it was interesting to me is that over the years, you know, we've witnessed very evidential mediums who secretly drank before they did readings, although they wouldn't tell anybody. And most mediums will go out of the way to tell you that spirits and spirits don't mix, you know, that you should never drink either as a sitter or as a medium, you know, when conducting a reading. But then I wonder, you know, because mediums, in effect, they're entering an altered state of consciousness while they work. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't that be something that's conducive to an altered state? You know, why shouldn't that work in the same way? So what are your thoughts about that?
So I don't drink before I read professionally. And, you know, the reason for that is it definitely, there is a magic formula for me in getting information. I explain, like, when I get information, it's almost like a faucet, you know, that the water rushes, the information rushes. And I think when and I've heard this from other mediums too, it's something a lot of us seem to have in common. When you drink two alcoholic beverages within, let's say, an hour and a half period, it seems to open up the kind of portal, the communication with the other side, and make that faucet just flow so strongly, where you're just flooded with information. And you can't have three drinks, because then you're just too wonky. It's this, like, little window you have. But I'll tell you why I don't do that. In some ways, it would probably make it easier for me to get the flow like that. But I'm very respectful of this ability, and I think I'm very careful, because I realize what a great responsibility and what a great honor it is to be able and be allowed to be the go-between and pass along messages. And it's always very important for me to pass along messages in a very respectful way and say things a certain way. And I think, you know, we can all, you know, admit that, you know, for those of us who drink, when you drink, you don't always say things exactly the right way, and you tend to be a little bit flippant or dismissive or not as sensitive as maybe you should be at times. So that's why I choose not to drink when I do, you know, readings. But certainly if I'm out with my girlfriends, or, you know, I'm out to dinner with my husband, with friends, and I've had two drinks, I just start reading the table. You know, I can't stop. But,
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can certainly understand that. And listen, you're in a profession where you have to go out of your way to create an atmosphere of respectability, because you're under attack, so to speak, by many people. So the last thing that you want is to have somebody think that you're making it up because you're inebriated. So,
absolutely. That's a very careful and a very important point. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, you seem to have a lot of turning points, but, you know, I mean, is there one thing that you could point to that made you take ownership of your abilities and really make you believe with all your heart that mediumship was what you really were supposed to do with your life?
Yeah, and my very honest answer is when I tested for Forever Family Foundation and became involved with the Forever Family Foundation. You know, I talk a lot about our connections to one another here being so profoundly important, just as our connections to our loved ones on the other side are. And I think that we all play extraordinary roles in one another's lives. And what I've come to understand is that I would not be doing what I'm doing right now. I would not have owned it in the way that I've owned it. I would not have this book out in the world. I would not be sharing these messages and be honored and humbled to be part, you know, of the message system, so to speak, with the other side, if it were not for Forever Family Foundation. Because I think what you and Fran have done by creating this organization and Bailey's involvement from the other side, it's formed this team of light that helps people hear. And for me, it was a way for me to give my service, to be of service to people in grief, to volunteer my time and to be with like-minded and like-hearted individuals. And for me, that was everything. You know, working with bereaved parents and being able to bring through messages was one of the most healing and extraordinary things I've ever been privileged to be part of in my entire life. And there is not a day that goes by that I don't feel incredibly honored to be part of Forever Family Foundation and to be on that path. And I thank the universe so much and my guides and all the people on the other side who brought me to the doorstep of Forever Family and help me get involved in that. Because, you know, hindsight is 2020, and it is very, very, very clear to me that that was the road and the vehicle that I was able to really dive in and harness my abilities and have a safe place to use them and express them and help people. So I just want to take a moment and thank you and everybody involved in the Forever Family Foundation for what you give to the world. You're changing the world in extraordinary ways, and you're changing people's journeys and paths here, and I think that that's just such a beautiful thing.
Well, we appreciate you saying that, and we're very grateful to the universe for bringing you to our doorstep as well. So I guess that's the way it was meant to be.
I think so.
One thing people will learn that they may not know when they read the book is that your career, you know, is as a school teacher, and you were in the closet about being a medium for many years, and that must have weighed heavily on you. I mean, maybe you could tell us briefly how you were outed and the emotions you were experiencing as this happened.
You know, absolutely. I've always, you know, since I had my daughter, she's 15 and a half now, I knew that I was meant to do this in the world, and that it was just such a flow of light and energy and information that I knew I had to honor it. And very shortly, you know, after having her, I found Forever Family Foundation, and I was so happy to be part of that and have almost like a secret place I could, you know, do this at any time and volunteer and be part of this community of light. And it was through an event on 12/12/12 that I had been very honored, you know, to ask to do for Forever Family at a local college that some people that I worked with bought tickets to and realized, wait a minute, Laurel and Jackson, she works here. So I came home and I told my husband. He said, "That's it, Laura. You have to go tell your principal. You have to go confess. You have to tell her what you do. And if she says you can't do this, that it interferes with teaching, you have to stop." And so I took that very scary, lonely walk to the principal's office, and you know, I sat down because I had been so good at keeping my world separate. Like, it was so secretive. You know, by day I would teach, and by afternoon and evening I would go home and I would be reading all different people and swimming into this whole psychic mediumship world. I was really leading a secret double life, and I had been extraordinarily good at it, and now I was basically being outed. So I was a bit, you know, terrified, and I think that's a really important thing to acknowledge, that I was coming from a place of fear the entire time. I was so fearful that if I told people at work, I would get fired. People would think, you know, that I was nuts, or dismiss me, or you know, that it would become a distraction, or X, Y, and Z. And the truth of the matter is, when I walked into my principal's office and I sat down and I kind of stuttered it out and tried to explain, you know, I said, there's volunteer work I do on the weekends and sometimes and in the summers, and it's very important to me, just as important as teaching is. And I think, you know, my principal's rather intuitive, because she looked at me, she said, "Laura, are you, you know, one of those?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Are you a psychic medium?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "Who's around me right now?" And boom, it was like the universe had this planned all along, I think. The floodgates opened, and her mother came through by name and, like, gave me all this flood of information. And she, you know, she got up, she closed her office door, and then she was just crying as I was bringing through this information. And the bell rang, and I had to go back to teach class. And she said, "Laura, this is an extraordinary gift. I'm going to call the superintendent, and I'm going to talk to him about this, but I think this is beautiful what you do." So I went and I taught my other classes, and you know, you know, when I was done teaching my three classes in a row, I saw her at my door and she said, can you please come down to the main office as soon as you're free? And I thought, uh-oh, here it is. I'm either getting fired or I can't do this. And, and I walked in and she said to me, can you connect, you know, again? I just had some more questions. And so I was so relieved. So it was extraordinary because there was no negativity at all. There was just love and support from my administration, and it was wonderful, you know. And we talked about if these students ever found out and how I would handle it. But the students didn't find out for another, you know, almost a year. And, and then they found out because, you know, somebody I read for posted, who's famous, posted a picture of us on Instagram with my full name, and it takes, you know, high school students all of 2 seconds to Google full names and figure out who I was in secret. So that was interesting, too. But even then, it was met with joy and love and you know, beauty. It was great.
Yeah, and that must have been such a tremendous relief for you. I mean, the stress level must have really receded greatly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think I finally felt whole. And I think that was part of my journey, too, is that I needed to accept this part of me and stand up. Because for so much of my life, I wanted so badly to just keep the secret and just be this academic and be, you know, grounded. And I worried so much, and there was nothing to worry about. And so I think it allowed me to honor my true path and my true light. And there's no greater feeling than that. It's extraordinary when you become whole like that.
Now, when you have in relationships or marriage, I mean, when one person is highly intuitive and the spouse either doesn't understand or doesn't believe in such abilities, that could be a real problem. So, yeah, how did Garrett first react when he realized that you started to take what you were doing very seriously, that it wasn't just a passing fancy, this was going to be your life? Did he go?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, when Garrett and I met, anybody who knows me and gets close to me knows that I do this. There's no way for me to hide it. So he knew while we were dating, but, you know, our accepted agreement was, you know, I was going to be a high school English teacher, he's a lawyer, and we were going to have a family, and this is how we would function. And when I had my first daughter, you know, 15 and a half years ago, this turned on so profoundly I couldn't shut it off, and I got this kind of download from the universe. And the message was that I needed to honor this now and that it wasn't going to shut off. So I was either going to, you know, spin out of control with my psychic energy or I needed to read regularly. And I told him that. And he was very, you know, initially uncomfortable. He said to me, how are you going to do this? We have a newborn baby. He was working full time and putting himself through law school at night. So he would literally leave at 5 in the morning and get home at midnight and study all weekend. And he said, how are we going to work this into our life? And I said, you know, I just know we will because I trust the universe. And then his next question was like, well, how do you know you're not talking to the devil or something? How do you know that, you know, you're really connecting with people's loved ones on the other side? And I said, I know because all the messages are beautiful and healing and filled with love and specific with names and information and things. There's no way I could possibly know unless I was connecting with their loved ones on the other side. And shortly after that, I did a reading for a woman who had lost her daughter, who was 3 at the time, and the daughter came through and gave me her name and told me she had crossed from a liver disease, which the mother validated, and came through with all these extraordinary messages, but one of the most powerful ones was that the mother needed to release her guilt, that it wasn't the mother's job to save her while she was here, it was the mother's job to just love her, that was the lesson she was learning from her mother, and her window here, she crossed when she was meant to cross, and that she was here to learn a lesson about unconditional love, which her mother gave her, and how beautiful that was. And the next week, the mother sent me a letter, and this little angel figurine in the mail, and she wrote in the letter that the angel figurine looked exactly like her daughter, and it was the only way she thought she could connect with her daughter or have any, you know, sort of connection with her. But after the reading, she realized she didn't need that anymore because she could talk to her daughter every day at every moment and could feel her around, and that she was going to reengage in life, and she had let go of the guilt. And I showed the letter to Garrett, and he, you know, he went off with it and got very quiet, and then he came back and he said to me, this is absolutely beautiful what you're part of and what you're doing, and you need to honor this. You need to do this. And so I think his love and support, unconditional like that, really helped put me on my path as well and helped me fully embrace it because, you know, as a team, we embraced it.
Right, and I guess that was part of the plan.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, marrying him was part of the plan.
Right. We are talking with psychic medium and author Laura Lynn Jackson. The book is called The Light Between Us. If you haven't picked it up yet, you can go on the Forever Family website. There's an Amazon link. You can get it, and it's very enjoyable. We have a lot more to talk about. We're going to a break. When we come back, I know that Laura has a very unique and organized way of receiving information, which is fascinating. So when we come back from the break, I want to talk a little bit about that. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Learning to Dance in the Rain, a true story about life beyond death. When 21-year-old Maya dies in a tragic car crash, her parents begin to experience profound synchronicities, prophetic dreams, guidance from mediums, and the undeniable truth that death is not the end. Lori and Brian McDermott share their story, hoping to help others find strength and inspiration to face whatever storms life may bring. Learn more about this important book at www.learningtodanceintherain.net. That's www.learningtodanceintherain.net. Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a WindBridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you're just tuning in, our guest tonight is psychic medium and New York Times bestselling author Laura Lynn Jackson. Our sponsor is Hugs from Heaven. That's Hugs with a Z. And they can be found at hugsfromheaven.com on the internet. We want to remind you to sign up for our next webinar, How Karma Plays Out in the Afterlife, What Our Spirit Friends Are Telling Us, with our own Forever Family Foundation Academic Advisory Board member, Dr. Stafford Betty, on Tuesday, February 9th. And following that up is our March 1st webinar, Suicide Loss Perspectives from Parents, Therapists, and a Medium. You can sign up for these and all of our other events on our website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Also, check the events page on our website regularly for newly added events, webinars, visionary explorers clubs, and afterlife discussion groups. And please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional nonprofits enjoy. And you can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, great nonprofits, and Wellzoo. Just make certain that you have designated Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice in each of these donation opportunities. You do the shopping, they make the donations to us. And if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Back to you, Bob.
And we're back with Laura Lynn Jackson. The book is The Light Between Us, Stories from Heaven, Lessons for the Living. And before the break, I mentioned the way you receive information, Laura. And you know, we've been asking mediums for years because we're curious about the various ways in which mediums get their information. And you have it's a system that you've developed over the years, and it's so cool. So tell us a little bit about this screen that you see.
Sure. You know, I think for me it was a journey in understanding this kind of new language of perception that I was, you know, perceiving from the other side. And so I learned very quickly on to come up with a system. You know, I kind of worked with my spirit guides to organize it. You know, when it came time for me, you know, after I had my daughter, and I said, okay, universe, I'm all yours. I'm in. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to honor it. But I need a system that works because it's very overwhelming when I do a reading. There's so much information coming at me. So I think that there's no coincidence that when I read, what appears is I watch this kind of widescreen TV screen. It's black in my mind, but it really resembles a teacher's blackboard. And it has a left-hand side and a right-hand side in the same exact way that, you know, blackboards do. And on the left-hand side, that's where I get all my psychic information. So if I want to read someone's aura or energy field or get information about that person and kind of do that, I call it looking, and I look to the left. I kind of watch this inner screen in my mind, and I look to the left-hand side. And on that, I'll see people in colors. I'll see information appear. I'll see a lot of times timelines appear, almost like a historical timeline with things marked down. And they'll map out a person's soul's journey here and past, so they'll show me what they've, you know, had in the past, what they're in now, what's coming in the future, and they'll be pretty specific with me on times and dates and so forth. Or if I'm trying to, you know, get information about the weather, so to speak, which has happened, I'll see it on, you know, that left-hand side. All of my mediumship takes place on the right-hand side of my screen, and for me, it's such a different feeling and experience on the right-hand side. So usually I'll open up psychically. It's almost like that's how I warm up. You know, I'll open to the left-hand side, and then I will see these kind of points of light push in and enter my right-hand screen and start giving me information. And I always say my psychic information is like retrieving information, and mediumship is just sitting back and receiving. So it's a very different energy feel for me, too. But for me, it's very clear, and I'm very aware of when somebody steps into my screen from the other side. And even that screen, even the right-hand side of my screen for mediumship, I have that further organized so that I understand who this person is on the other side in relation to the person I'm reading, you know, otherwise known as the sitter. And so on the upper right-hand side of that screen, that's reserved for the sitter's mother's side of the family. The lower right-hand side of the screen is reserved for anybody from the sitter's father's side of the family. And the middle of the screen is for peers, extended family, friends, and so forth. So when I feel an energy push in, I can kind of see what side of the family. They'll usually let me feel what generation, and that's who I'll understand who's communicating with me.
So it's interesting, you know, the people in spirit are not necessarily saying, okay, let me go to the right lower corner of Laura's screen. They're communicating in a way that you do what all mediums do, is they organize the information and interpret it, and that's just your way of interpreting it.
Right. It's like, yeah, it's like if I spoke English but I went to France and I have an ability to speak French, I'm going to speak French there because those people are going to understand the French. I think the people on the other side, they know my system. They've chosen, because I think the other side arranges every single reading. You know, I think when we schedule readings here or I read for somebody, it's not arranged by us. They know about it. They've done it. And so if they've chosen me as the, you know, the medium to go through, they're very aware of my what language I speak and how to connect with me and how to get that information through. And that's why I think that we all have these abilities to connect with one another and to the other side. And the more you work out a language that makes sense to you, the more information you'll perceive and understand.
Yeah. And what I like about your system is that there's a very clear and defined way of separating psychic information versus spirit communication.
And I think that's important because, you know, psychic information, when I read psychically, it's not that draining or exhausting. It's not that big a deal. When I read mediumistically and you know, energy from the other side comes to me and gives me information, it's exhausting and it drains my energy. I always say if I were a cell phone and I read psychically, I would go from maybe 100% power to an 85 after an hour. And if I'm doing a mediumship reading, it's like if I'm at 100% power, after an hour, I'm at maybe 2% left. So for me, it's been really important because I keep that right-hand side of the screen shut tight unless I'm doing a scheduled reading for someone.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you know, spirit comes through as what you term, you know, these vibrant points of light, thus the title of the book, The Light Between Us. And I know that you believe that that we remain connected by these cords of light. It's sort of you know, they're like conduits by which these, you know, communication can take place between the realms. So, I mean, do you believe that the emotion of love actually strengthens the cord, so to speak? Does that enhance?
That is the cord of light. That cord of light, that light is made up of love. Absolutely. It's one and the same. You know, we are light energy. We are love energy in the end. And so anybody we've connected to here in a loving way, we create a cord with. But it's our loved ones on the other side. These cords are so profound and so strong, there's no way we could ever be separated from them. There's no one that we love is ever lost to us. We're always connected.
So might that be the reason why you and a lot of other mediums very rarely, if ever, bring through sort of negative, you know, energy or spirits, because that's not the cord of love. So
I'm never afraid to open to the other side. I stay very, very much in what I call the light. You know, and I think energy is almost like a lake, and at the bottom it's dark and murky and there's catfish and, you know, slimy, weedy things. And at the top it's like filled with the sunlight on the water and sparkle, and people are boating and laughing and having fun. And I always say, like, when I read, that's the energy I'm in, that energy at the top, that light-filled, beautiful, buoyant, love energy. You know, does that energy at the bottom probably exist? Yes, but I think it's like a radio. You tune into certain frequencies, and when you come from a place of love and you're connecting with this force of love, there's no way for you to perceive the dark or hear that.
I'm going to ask you a question, because this is a question that we get. Maybe it's the most asked question that people ask of us, and they say, why hasn't my loved one communicated with me? And, you know, when somebody says that to you, how do you answer that from a mediumistic perspective?
Well, here's what is the absolute true answer. I guarantee you, your loved one has tried. You know, there are a couple things that interfere with that. One of them is grief. Grief numbs us so profoundly, it kind of isolates us. And I've had, you know, spirits on the other side come through to me and tell me, I've been trying so hard to get through to this person, but they're so enwrapped and shrouded in grief right now that they can't perceive me. You know, it's like being underwater and you can't hear people at the surface talking because you're so isolated and involved in that grief. Or it's like being at the dentist and getting Novocaine. You can't feel anything because you're so numb to everything. But over time, as you swim through your grief, and grief is a journey that has many, you know, winding turns, and it's different for every single person, but as you go through your journey of grief, I think you begin to perceive more. You know, I think the other side sends us signs and messages all the time. You know, the number one thing they've told me is the minute they cross, they just want to get messages to their loved ones here that there is no death, they're fine, so that we don't spend all this time thinking they've disappeared and they don't exist anymore, or worried about where they are they okay? Yes, they're absolutely okay. They're in a place that the currency there is love and joy and light. They are more than fine, and they don't feel separated from us because they can be with us in a millisecond. There's a knowing. You know, we are our consciousness. We're conscious when we cross, and we can connect at any time with anyone and be in more than one place at one time. And so there's no sense of isolation or loss for them. So they're trying to always get us that message, and I think there are some default messages they use if we have an established one. You know, whenever I read for people, I say, just establish a sign with your loved one on the other side. And the Forever Family Foundation, I mean, you guys have a sign registry. People can sign up ahead of time to kind of give, you know, a specific message that their loved one here, once they've crossed, can check on. So that's extraordinary, too. But even if you haven't done that ahead of time, all you need to do is direct your thoughts to, you know, whoever it is you want to connect with on the other side and ask for something specific. You know, I used to ask for monarch butterflies, and I would get them. But, you know, after that, I decided that was too easy. I was going to kick it up a notch, and I ask for armadillos, aardvarks, and anteaters now, and I get them in the most extraordinary ways and at the most extraordinary times, you know, as, you know, messages. And it's almost like the other side blowing you a kiss. But I think there are some default ones they use if you haven't set it up yet. I think coins are a big one, pennies, nickels, dimes, because from what they tell me, anything metallic, they can manipulate and get in to be in a certain place at a certain time. And I think that's because we are light energy when we cross, and metal is a great conductor of energy. So for whatever reason, they can get us coins quite easily. Other things they love to do, especially in the age of like iPhone and all this, is they love to mess with anything electrical. And I think that our phones now, our cell phones, have given them an extraordinary ability to get, you know, all sorts of messages through us to us. I've heard of, you know, people getting messages of beautiful music right after going to a loved one's, you know, funeral with no caller. Like, they try to call it back and the number doesn't exist. Of blank messages on significant dates, like a birthday, anniversary, or crossing date. Extraordinary things happen through cell phones, you know.
Yeah.
There have been, like, text messages that appear from unknown numbers. So that's another way, or even messing with your lights at home, or, you know, your TV. And birds and butterflies seem to be very popular with them, too. And I think that's because both birds and butterflies operate by navigating through electromagnetic, you know, guidance systems. So they can very easily kind of manipulate these kind of electromagnetic fields to get birds and butterflies in our path. So
yeah.
I guarantee everybody that your loved ones are trying to send you signs and messages. And the more you open your mind and your heart to learning that new language and being mindful of it, the more you see it and the more you feel their presence. And, you know,
well, that's certainly good advice. And knowing you, I'm not surprised in the least that you would ask for an aardvark.
Yeah.
You know? So. I wish we had more time. We're coming to the end. I want to let everybody know again, the name of the book is The Light Between Us, Laura Lynn Jackson. Laura's website is her name, Laura Lynn. It's Lynn, L-Y-N-N-E, Jackson.com. And the book is available all over. I know that Laura's been on a country tour of book signings, and you may have seen her on various TV shows, and it's a wonderful ride, and she's getting the message out that our loved ones are truly a heartbeat away. So, Laura, thanks so much for being with us. We look forward to seeing you again, and Happy New Year.
Thank you so much, you too. It's such an honor to be part of Forever Family Foundation.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Joe Nadal, Karen Gould, Stanley Mullen, Glenna Irwin, Michael Tim, David Haith, Miriam Pierzga, Donna Mello, Matt Mello, Fred Feinstein, James Rafferty. And... Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man as well as the earth, and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.